tape here. So we have another class this week. And again, not a lot of deep theology. Honestly, not even that many. We're going to have a few scriptures, but not a ton of scriptures. I'm just going to talk about being a good student and a good disciple at the same time. Yes?
I guess I want to share something.
Okay, great. About integrity?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
I think today, matter of fact, so there's like two different departments, and I work in one department. One of the like people that's like kind of higher than me kind of took something, and then he tried to make me take something too, and I'm like, I think that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. You know, I told him you shouldn't be doing that either. But it was more so like, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
He kind of took something. Can you kind of take something?
Oh, no. You can just take it.
He stole. He stole. Okay.
He stole. He was trying to get me to steal it. I'm like, yeah. No, I'm not stealing.
Ooh, he's stealing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. She's like, you're short? I'm like, no. I said, I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was in a way having integrity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. Come on, Eve.
Stop it up.
All right. So here, I'm going to start. We're going to talk about being a good disciple slash student. And this is coming from somebody who maybe kind of knows what he's talking about a little bit. All right. Cause I've been in college for, I started at 18. All right. I've been in college for 50 years. I took 1 year off. All right. I've been in college for 50 years. Okay. And you know, the first 4 years, all right, I'll admit, I mean, I was a knucklehead, all right, but I, you know, 6 years of graduate school and 34 years as a professor, I think I have a little bit of experience to talk about what it means. So here's the question. Which is more important, being a good student for Christ or being a good disciple in your overall life? Which is more important? Yes. Okay. Okay. All right. I say that is a false dichotomy.
Yes.
It is a false dichotomy. That is a logical fallacy. All right. Says that's a false dichotomy. Yes, but if we embrace false dichotomies, because the only alternative is cannibalism. You're either a cannibal or you embrace, you know, it's like, no, no. Because if you're, the more responsible you are as a student, the better disciple of Jesus you are. And by the way, there's no such thing as a bad disciple, arguably, since if it's bad, that means you're probably not a disciple. So that would mean, arguably, there's no such thing as a bad student. Disciple.
Okay. All right.
Arguably.
Arguably.
Now, my experience has been different than that. I had students who were members of my church that I was going to cheat in my class.
Oh.
And I had to confront her and tell her she got a zero. I mean, you know, hey. All right. So I'm going to claim that this is a false dichotomy. Now, I understand, by the way, Daisy said that, and then Ryan was agreeing with her, and I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I mean, I would say the big picture is more important than the smaller picture of the big picture, okay? True. But if we're talking about integrity, then you can't separate the two. So I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I'm just saying I'm going to answer it a different way, to say that is a false dichotomy. All right? And Zane, how many times have you heard me say school comes first?
Oh, like 1,000 times.
All right, now, which is more important to me, going to heaven or doing well in school? I mean, obviously, we understand that, you know, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you gave up everything to be a disciple and all this sort of stuff. But I still say school comes first. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. By the way, discipleship to Jesus is more important than school. All right, yes. But I'm going to explain what I mean when I say school comes first. All right, but I believe that's important. All right, so let's talk about the student disciple. I want to talk about some reasons it's important, because obviously my service to God comes before my commitment to getting a diploma. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obvious. In fact, if my pursuit of a diploma, if I became convinced that that would hurt my pursuit of God, I'd like to think that I would quit that diploma. All right? And I can remember when I was in graduate school and we had the comprehensive exam. Now, because I was in chemical physics, I had to pass a comprehensive exam from the chemistry department, and I had to pass a comprehensive exam from the physics department. That's a pretty tough thing. All right? And I passed the chemistry thing. That wasn't too hard for me, but the physics thing, I mean, you know. So I failed it my second year, and so the third year comes up. The third year comes up, and it's like I have to either pass it or else see you later. And the problem is, there are five parts in the exam. Two of the parts were for material I'd never even had any course in ever at all. All right? And so, and then three of them, anyway. And so, I had to decide. Am I going to do what my fellow students are, which is working 70, 80, 90 hours a week to prepare for this exam? Or am I going to be responsible, put in like 50 hours a week to prepare for the exam, but also not abandon my responsibilities as a Bible study leader, as a, all these other things at church. And I decided to do the second one. And so my prayer to God was this. I pray, God, I either flunk this exam and I never complete my PhD, or I pray that I get the highest grade of anybody taking this exam.
Wow.
That was my prayer. And so I said, no, God comes first. But no, I did not just study for five, you know. Yeah. And by the way, yeah, I got the highest grade of anybody on the test after flunking it the year before. So anyway, so reasons to be a good student. Number one, to develop your intellect. Why are you at the university? In my opinion, the only reason to come here is so that you'll be smarter than you when you leave than you were when you got here. Really. Because almost everything you learn, not everything, but a large majority of everything you learn at the university, you never actually use. All right? Some you do use, but a large majority you never do. So the reason you're here is so you'll be smarter when you're done than you were when you got here. That's why you go to the class even when you don't need to. Because the bottom line is, I believe a smart disciple is more useful to God than a, let's just say, not quite a smart disciple.
Amen.
Okay? If you sharpen your intellect, God will be able to use you more in the long run than if you had less sharp intellect. So that's why you're here. Okay? So that's one reason to be a good student, because ultimately God will be able to use you more if you develop your intellect. All right? Reason number two, in order to set a good example. So if you're in a class and you're getting a C minus and you come in late and, you know, you're not putting in your best effort, you say, hey, you want to come to church with me? Okay, it's not going to work. Okay, and I'm telling you, evangelism and being a really good student, that's a great combination, okay? So that's another reason to be a good student, because bottom line is it's going to make you more effective in your outreach. Set an example, not just to the students in class, but to the fellow students. By the way, about a third of the people in this room are not even students right now, okay? Mm-hmm. So everything I say applies to work almost completely. It's not exactly one-to-one, but it's close, okay? So please, Juan, who actually is planning on going to school soon, so, all right, Francisco is probably never going to, well, maybe go back to college. He's going to take a thing on trucking or something like that. So please, yeah, okay. Number three, because if you're a better student, you'll get a better job. And does it matter before God's eyes, what job you have? No. Well, not in terms of going to heaven. But the bottom line is, if you have a better job, that means you're going to make more
money,
which means you're going to be more free to serve God. Because if you're having to work two jobs just to get by, all right, the bottom line is, hey, if you complete that bachelor's degree long term, you're going to have a better job. And, you know, pretty simple decision. As a disciple of Jesus, is it better to have a better job or a worse job?
Better job.
Better job. Okay, that's a reason to not just get by, all right, but to do really, really well. And my suggestion is anything above a 3.5 average, it doesn't matter. Just shoot for that. You got a 3.5 average, and every possible thing you might eventually want to do will be open for you. Maybe you can't do it at Berkeley, but you'll be able to do it somewhere. Okay? Number three, reasons to be a good student. Because it builds lifelong character. All right? And this really goes back to the integrity lesson. If you're a stinky student who barely, you know, isn't motivated, you know, isn't willing to do the, I'm going to give some specific advice, do those things, then I think in the long term, as a person, you're going to be a less good person. You know, I had so many students cheat over the years, and it pains me. It pains me. Because if you're cheating, what are you doing? Who are you hurting when you're cheating? You're hurting only one person. Well, maybe the other students. But what kind of person is a cheater? What kind of person is that? Do you want to be that kind of a person? What kind of a person is one who doesn't do the homework and says, hey, can I have a copy of my homework? Your homework, can you turn it in, okay? What kind of person is that? And I really think you're becoming the person you're going to be here in college and at the university. You're setting a pattern for the rest of your life. I don't think I'm exaggerating. Could you turn it around later? You probably could. Nevertheless, Romans 5, 1 through 5. I'm preaching the studenthood there. I'm going to preach about being a good student. Okay.
Amen, bro.
There you go. Amen. Yeah, sorry. Go to class. Amen. Study for tests. Amen. All right. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. A little suffering at college? Sure, occasionally. All right. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. So while you're here at Merced College or the University of California, Merced, ask yourself, what kind of person do you want to be? That's the kind of student you need to be. Okay, another reason you should be a good student is because God wants you to be a good student. Okay? And if you don't do what God wants you to do, that's a bad thing. God wants you to get the best grades you can possibly get. All right, now, it's possible that you'd be in a course and you'd get a C, and you just gave your best. Amen. That God's happy with that. All right, and I'm sitting here. I'm that guy in college who, you know, didn't even have to work. You know, I'm kind of that obnoxious guy until I got to graduate school. Then I was like the rest of people in undergrad. You know, so you can say, well, that's easy for you to say. Well, maybe it is, but then. Trust me, when I got to graduate school, it wasn't easy for me to say. I'll tell you that right now. All right, so let's see here. What scripture I have? I've got 1 Corinthians 4, 2 through 5. I'm reading scriptures that if you've been around church for very long, these are pretty familiar ones. And they're not talking about being a student exactly, but they certainly apply. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 through 5. Now, it is required that those who've been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. So basically, this is a sort of a truism. If God has entrusted you to something, then what your job is to be faithful to that thing. That's why I believe all Christians should be environmentalists on some level. That may not be your first commitment. It may not be your second or third commitment. But God has trusted the earth, according to the book of Genesis, to us, to rule over it. Which means, what should we do with the earth?
Take care of it.
We should treat it well. And if you're a student, God has entrusted you to studenthood. For 4 years, for 5 years, he's entrusted you with studenthood. So what should you do with that? You should be faithful. All right? That means you're not messing around. That means when class happens, you're in class. That means when an assignment is due, you turn it in on time. Are there ever exceptions?
I guess.
But you know what? There's people for whom there are never any exceptions. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny how that works. There's just certain people. All right? All right. Colossians 3, 22 through 24. Now, eventually, I'm going to give you some practical advice from a person who's been around college for a really long time. And hopefully, this practical advice will be helpful. Colossians 3, 22 through 24. Again, the subject is not studenthood, but I think it absolutely applies to your position here. Your primary responsibility right now in the world is to do well as a student. All right? And then, of course, to God, prayer, Bible study, helping the poor, all that stuff. Absolutely. All right, Colossians 3, 22 through 24. Slaves. Now, they had slaves back then. Praise the Lord, we don't have slaves now. So the application of slaves traditionally in Christian context is workers on the job. Mm-hmm. But at the university, it's college students. All right? Do you feel like a slave sometime? Well, you're not. Trust me, not even close. But nevertheless, college students, obey your professors. Let them be mentors to you. Listen to them. Even if you don't like them, even if you disagree with them philosophically, let them influence you anyway. Learn how to think from them. Okay? Do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance in the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Jesus Christ you're trying to get A's for. Okay? You're trying to get an A because it pleases the Lord. And you're submitting to this professor even though they're lazy and even though they canceled class on Thursday, which means they're an unethical person, probably. I don't know. All right? You know, you do what they say. Don't do what they do. You do what they say because you're submitting yourselves to them for that period of time. Got it? Good. So I gave you five reasons to be a good student disciple. Number one, because that way you'll be smarter. Number two, that way you'll help other people to grow in their lives. You'll get a better job. You're going to build character, and God wants you to do that. Okay, great. Now next, all right, this is going to be a shorter lesson. We're going to have some discussion groups. Oh, yeah. You have to be open about how it's going, maybe. I don't know. Advice to students. Coming from a person who's either been a student or a professor or a person who's hanging out on campus for the last 5 years for a long time. Now, let's be real about it. There are potential conflicts between our Christian lifestyle and what it takes to be a top student. And I had that experience. Okay, so first year in graduate school, I mean, I worked hard as an undergrad. I got a double major. I did research. I took graduate courses. I was not a lazy bum as an undergrad. But when I got to graduate school, I was in a PhD in chemical physics. Chemical part, okay. Physics part, not so good. So all I had was freshman physics, you know, 5 years before. And I skipped. It's like I'm taking Spanish 6 and I skip Spanish 2, 3, 4, and 5, all right? And this is physics, and it was tough, and I got a couple of C's my first semester, and that's when I became a Christian. Okay, so now I'm attending church on Sunday morning, I'm attending church on Sunday night, I'm attending church on Wednesday night, I have a Bible group on Thursday night, a devotional on Friday night, and then we had an optional thing on Monday that I went to anyway, okay? And now I have to get straight A's or else I'm flunked out, okay? Yeah. All right? So from a logical perspective, that's a problem. That's a problem. All right? But I got my PhD. I'm still here. So let's be honest. There will be some tension. There will be some tension in trying to do those Christian things. And being a good student. All right? By the way, don't skip class to go to a Christian event. Don't do that. Okay? But possibly you might. I'll talk about how to have the right kind of schedule you want to have. I'm going to talk about that. So here's my second dichotomy. Should we put God first or should we put school first? I say false dichotomy. All right, now, like, you know, Zane can tell you, I told him to put school first how many times? Okay, and here's what I mean by that. Because this applies to your work. You got your work, okay? So work is not flexible. And Christianity, to some extent, is. All right, Sunday morning, that's not flexible, okay?
Amen.
All right? And if you have a job that means you work on Sunday morning, quit that job. All right, but get another job first. Don't quit it and then don't do that, okay? All right. So that's kind of the principle. In other words, the bottom line is do not use church as an excuse to not prepare for an exam, to not do a lab. All right. So the bottom line is if it comes down to it and you absolutely have to do this in order to be successful in the class, then I guess maybe even once in a while a church event, you know, it just might not, it's possible it won't happen. And you don't feel guilty about that. If somebody pressures you the other way, well, okay. Let them pressure you. All right? Because, you know, so school comes first. So what I mean is, let's say, for example, hey, there's this person we want to study the Bible with. And they're going to get baptized. It's so great. But I've got a test tomorrow.
Oh.
Which should I do? Get in on the study with this guy or study for the test? My answer is study for the test. And God can figure it out. If you are responsible to your studenthood, and even though, you know, there's this really cool spiritual thing, I say school comes first. I also say family comes first. And we all know, Jesus said, anybody who loves father or mother or children more than me is, not, you know, Jesus says, I come before your family. And he said it. Any disciple of Jesus agrees with that. But I still say family comes first. In other words, if our kid, you know, is in the hospital, we take care of our kid. Yeah, I got church responsibilities. I got all kinds of church responsibilities. But I'm telling you, for example, the year before last, when my father was dying, I said to the church I'm working for, I said, I'll see you in 3 weeks. You know, I'm going to go take care of my father. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Now, Jesus comes before my father. If not, then I've got a problem with being a disciple because that's what Jesus said. If you love them more than me, you're not worthy of me. But the bottom line is Jesus wants me to take care of my father. So when I say family comes first, I don't mean that family's more important than Jesus. Not at all. What I'm saying is our commitment to family is part of our commitment to Jesus. And your commitment to studentship is part of your commitment to Jesus. So Jesus will understand if you don't go on Saturday morning to serve the poor because you have a test on Monday, and if you do that, you will not do well on the test. That's what I'm saying, okay? Pretty simple. And, you know, we'll have a discussion about this. I may not even have it exactly right, all right? I'm just telling you my opinion, honestly. So here we go. So this affects your schedule, right? So my advice to be a good student, first of all, before the semester starts, look carefully at your schedule and plan your schedule around school first. Because, for example, I'll use the example of Zane. Zane, if you ask Zane, would you get in on a Bible study with this guy? He will say yes automatically.
Yes, I will.
Okay. Not always good, though. Okay, we got it? I love Zane, but he won't mind me using him as an example. Okay, because the bottom line is, Zane needs to say no to me more often. Zane needs to say no to me more often.
Amen.
Okay? Okay? And that does not mean he's not an awesome disciple of Jesus. Okay, you got it? Now, we have an on-campus Bible talk, right? On both campuses. I'd prefer that you possibly leave an open spot in your schedule so you can go to that. But if the bottom line is, if you're a sophomore semester senior and you got to take this class in order to graduate, I say, skip the Bible talk. All right? So that's what I mean by school comes first. That doesn't mean school is more important than your discipleship to Jesus. Not even close. Your discipleship to Jesus is 10 steps higher. But I still say school comes first. So when you create your schedule, I say, this is when I'm going to be studying. This is when I'm going to be in class. All right? And then just say no. Maybe not every single time, but almost every time. So here's what I did when I was in graduate school. Like I said, I mean, I had more church meetings than anybody in this room has, I'm pretty sure, okay? So here's what I did. I blocked out 8 till 5:30 every day, Monday through Friday. That turned out to be about 9.5 hours, 9.5 times 5. That's getting close to 50 hours. And I'm telling you, if somebody said, hey, we need to go sharing, if somebody says, hey, I got this Bible study, hey, we got this discipleship time, I'm sorry. No. Mm-mm. So that gave me between 45 and 50 hours. Now, you got to understand, the average graduate student is working about 70 hours a week.
Oh.
Right? But I made a decision. But see, my schedule was easier than your schedule because I was doing research. Mm-hmm. All right? So you guys, you know, Gabriel, you might have a class at 7:30 at night on Wednesday or whatever. So my model is not your model, but it's the idea I want to suggest. So then from about, from 6 o'clock to 11 every night, I was out sharing my faith. I was out studying the Bible with people, and I never did school stuff during that time. Never. I never did church stuff during the 8 to 5:30. Like really virtually ever. I'm sure there was an exception. You know what the graduate students would do? They'd sit around, shoot the breeze, and just chat. I was the most unfriendly graduate student sometimes. Because I'm telling you, between 8 and 5:30, all I ever did was work. And I would be in the, you know what I'm saying? They're all sitting around, you know, listening to music, chatting. That's because they're there for 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
And if you're there for 78 hours a week, you can sit around, just chat, and shoot the breeze, and just blah, blah, blah. But I never did. Because you know what? Any free time I had, I'm out there working, doing stuff for God. So that's what I did. That just was my example. So what I'm saying is, create a schedule before the semester starts. And ask yourself, how much time is it going to take? How much time studying? You know, that kind of stuff. And then that comes first. Exceptions? All right. You know. Okay? That's my suggestion. My note says no exceptions ever. All right. Again, I already said, hey, we got a Bible talk on campus, you know, whatever, Tuesday at 12, you know, but you can create a schedule around that where for me in graduate school, no. Okay, got it? Anyway, so here's the deal. What I would do is I would go into work after 11, often, because to do my research, it wasn't enough. So I would work from 11 o'clock till 4 or 5 in the morning, often. Yeah. Yeah. And so, by the time I was done, I was working 50, 55 hours a week. They were working 70. I was working 50 to 55. you know what? And my professor brought me, and I might have told you the story, and said, it seems like you're not all in on this graduate school student thing. Maybe you should do something else. I'm like, it's true. I'm not all in because I'm a disciple first. That's true. But you know what? I work my butt off. Anyway, worked out okay. So that's my first thing. So put God first and put school first. Create a balanced schedule where you've blocked out the time before any, you know, studenthood comes first. Okay? And it just, be a jerk about it. Say no. Alright, number two. Choose your major wisely and carefully. Okay? Choose a major that you could get a job from. Okay? I mean, I'm not going to mention those majors that don't lead to a job, but, you know. And choose a major that you're fairly good at. Okay? Choose a major. Choose it well. For many of you, that's been decided a long time ago, so oh well, so much for that. Number three. Shoot for an A in every class. That's the policy. I developed that policy even as a non-Christian. After my first semester, all right, and then I know my first semester in grad school, but those are the only two C's I ever got from my first semester in college until 10 years of college later, all right, because basically I went for an A in every class. I mean, so I asked myself, here's how hard the class is, here's how smart I am, here's how prepared I am, here's how much work it's going to take to get an A in this class. And sometimes I didn't get an A. So guess what I got? A B. And if you get only A's and B's at the end of your college career, that's awesome. You don't have to get 4.0. You do not have to get a 4.0. You know, and hey, maybe you'll get a C. Like I said, those that, and by the way, one of those C's, that was bogus. The other C I deserved. The other one, I still never understood how I got that C. Anyway. All right. Do not drop classes. That one there's exceptions to. That one because you get sick, something like that. So shoot for an A in every class and do not drop class. That's all right. Got it. All right. Advice. This is not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. This is just all right. Advice number was it 4 or 3? I can't remember. Get in study groups. I was so bad at this as an undergrad. I was so prideful and independent and all that kind of stuff. Get in study groups. A study group is between 2 and 5 people that commit to each other to get together, to do homeworks together, to do labs together, to talk about the papers together, prepare for tests together. Okay, got it? And the best study group is at least one student who's really good and at least one student who really is bad. That's the best study group. What's the person who's a really good student? What are they getting out of the study group? What's the best way to learn anything, Ryan? Teach it, okay? Get in study groups. And if your class has no study groups, you form that study group. Get in study groups. Now, some people can't do that. We met a student on campus today. He's a full-time student and a full-time worker. He can't do it, but. All right, let me see. I'm almost done. Yeah. Yeah, get lots of advice. And who should you get advisors from? Well, if you're at a community college, don't count on your community college advisors to give you the advice you need, okay? I'm friends with many community college advisors. And they often give bad advice. Okay? I'm sorry. So if you're in a community college, get advice from the college you're hoping to transfer to. Zane and I had this discussion.
Yeah, we did.
Because if you go to the advisor at your community college and ask them, what do I need to do to transfer, they will give you wrong information. I'm just telling you. All right, so get advice. Now, there's two kinds of people you want to get advice from. You want to get advice from people who know what they're talking about, all right, which is professional counselors at colleges. And, all right, and from spiritual people who are experienced as students, like me, for example, or Ryan. All right? So I'm going to just read a few scriptures on getting advice. Proverbs 11:14. Do me a favor. Get advice when you're choosing which course to take. I have students come to me, hey, what do you think about the schedule? Why are you asking me that after you already did your schedule? Ask me advice on your schedule before you sign up for classes. Proverbs 11:14. So seek advice from counselors, professional counselors, and for spiritual people who have experience. And by the way, one other thing is get advice from professors within your major. They don't want to talk to you sometimes, but they know what they're talking about better than the professional advisors. All right. Anyway, Proverbs 11:14 says here, and it's true. It says, for lack of guidance, a student fails. It says it right here. Student.
Okay.
But victory is won through many advisors. Oh, okay, let me change it. For lack of guidance, a student flunks. But getting an A or B is won through many advisors. Okay, great. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to advice and accept discipline. At the end, you will be counted among the wise. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But my professor's too busy. Bug the guy or the girl. Get in their face. Don't let them go. Okay? Yeah. Do it. Again, get advice both from spiritual people who have been successful students already, and from the people who are supposed to know what they're talking about, which is, you know, all right. Proverbs 24, verse 6. I'm going to be done in just 2 minutes here. Proverbs 24, verse 6, which says, surely you need guidance to do well as a student. And a diploma and the access to graduate school is won through many advisors. Okay? Get advice. All right. By the way, I'm here. All right. I'm here. I can give advice in a lot of areas. Oh, last thing, pray. Amen. Pray. Now I'm going to finish out by telling you a story. So this was, I think, my fifth year in graduate school. And see, when I was an undergrad, I said, we moved out of the dorm after sophomore year. I said, I will never live in a dorm again. That's for those, you know, I'm mature, and plus I can do all the partying and all the foolish behavior I want if I'm not in a dorm. My friends all got kicked out of the dorm. I was just wasn't there that day, luckily. So anyway, so I said, I'll never be in a dorm again. Then I became a Christian, and I figured out that being in a dorm would give me more opportunities to share my faith and help people become a Christian. So I moved into a dorm.
Wow.
I moved into a dorm at the age of 24. And I was 29 years old living in a dorm for Christ. There you go. But we had to, every year you had to kind of go through a lottery system to get your dorm room. And I was the Bible study leader for all these guys and girls. And I said to them, you know, you need to be there in line by 6 o'clock in the morning. Get there because we want to get the best room so we can have the Bible study and convert a lot of people. Anyway, these two girls showed up at like 9 o'clock. And I said, what are you doing? You're not even going to get a decent room. What were you doing? He said, well, we were praying. And I said to her, you should have been
in line.
Yeah. You should have been here. Yeah, but you shouldn't have been praying. You should have been here, you know. Anyway, so sure enough, there was not a room left. Not a room left. And so they were going to have to not be in the dorm. Couldn't be in our Bible study. Anyway, so they get to the front of the line. And they said, hey, we need a room. And the lady said, oh, there's not any rooms. She said, oh, wait a minute. It looks like we dropped one of the cards. Oh, okay. Here you go.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. So my humanistic approach, which is, you know, be disciplined and show up on time instead of praying. Anyway, So prayer is good. So here's our little group discussion. And again, about a third of us are not actually students. So when we're doing this, please apply it to your work or whatever situation. So there we go. This is a pretty vague discussion group. So we get into groups of three or four. Any changes that you want to propose for yourself based on what we said? Any decisions you maybe have made based on what we said? And if there's not any hard and fast thing, maybe an area you want to work on or improve in. Okay? So, we're getting in our groups. Jan thinks we should pray about this first before we get into our groups. All right, great. God, I'm thankful that for most of us, we are students. It is an honor and a privilege to be a college or university student in America. And honestly, America is not so good at certain things, but one thing America is great at is colleges and universities. Mm-hmm. And the best state in the country at college and universities, thank you, God, it's actually California. So, God, I pray that we would use this opportunity to glorify you, to not make excuses, God, to be great students. And, God, I'm thankful for those who are here tonight. And they're putting you first because they could have been studying. They could have been studying, but I'm sure they're going to go back to the room and they're going to study. I'm thankful for Flo, who's becoming a much better student than she was when we first met her. And I'm thankful for people like Gabriel and Alex, who were already really good students even before we met them. And I'm thankful for everybody else. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's get in groups of 2 to 4 or 5, whatever, and let's talk about this. Maybe what we could do is the people who aren't students can kind of circle up with non-students, possibly.